So what is the criterion? If a man has become such, he's grafted with the Guru, I'll give you criterion. Put the same question to the Guru and the same question to the disciple. He's living 100 miles away. He will reply the same words, in the same words. There are one and two and two is one. This is what meant by Guru Mukha. Such like people are chosen by God to continue all this work. So all masters say the same thing, you see. So devotion to the Guru is the first step. And those who become one with Him, they become one with the Lord. Because with whom you become one, He is one with God, so naturally you are one with God. This is the simplest way of realizing God. Most easy. So you can see this point, bring at home, that things to explain these things. Painter of one country came to another country and presented himself to the king of that country that he knows in painting, he's very expert in painting. Let us give us some time and show our art in painting. So king allowed him one side of the hall, big hall, all you work on it. The painters of the same country came up to him, sir, we also know this art. Would you kindly allow for some art or try to represent our own art? All right. They put a screen in the middle of the hall so that one man cannot see the other. When there's competition, naturally nobody allows anybody else to see that what he is doing. He may copy. So they began to work in their own way. He was visiting now and then. He was seeing the men who have come from the other country, they were doing something daily. On the other side, the man was not doing anything. After a month when that painting was ready, they invited him to kindly visit. Our art is ready now, you may kindly see. When he came, he was wonderful, very good. Beautiful painting, very astonishing also to his mind. Then the other requested, will you kindly look about what we have done? When the kids were taken out, to great astonishment, amazement of the king, the same very painting done was on the other wall. He was seeing all through the months, they had done nothing. And more, there are in that painting, there are blemishes here, there somewhere. That very blemishes are not there. So King asked, what have you done? Sir, we have done nothing. We are firmly rubbing the wall so that can reflect. You understand what is meant by Guru Mahima? No? When all thoughts except the Guru remain, nothing there. All thoughts are rubbed out. This is meant by Guru Man. That is why I have placed you all in before that everything I will say. You reflect everything of the Guru in you if you become Guru Mukh. Guru Mukh means to become the mouth of peace of the Guru. And God Man is the most peace of God. So I will tell you now, quote you something, O'Neill, sayings of the Master. These words of the Master are with us for our guidance. See? Now we see how can we find the guidance of such a Guru? How can we find it? Everybody wants. So for that Kavi replies, he says, Guru appears when the child is ready. And what is readiness? One thing, he should agree, I mean, to sit at the feet of somebody. And also he should have some, know what to say, acting imposing. Really was Guru. If you have not got any, you should only be open that I have not got anything. Let others not be misguided. He should be true to his own self. Has he found the Guru God? If no, say no. This is the first thing. We say something, really we do not have it. This should be avoided. And we should not only boast of, we know so much this and that, but God sees within you who you are, what you are. And further, he must have the, what we say, humility to go to somebody. Generally, men, those who are puffed up with knowledge, outer knowledge, they would not dare to go to somewhere. I know much, why should I go? Those who are very rich, they also don't care. We can invite such people at our homes. Those are in power. They are so, we can, why do we need all this? So if we in humility, then only we go. Now what we should do, if you want really after God, then what we should do? We know whatever we know. Go to him, hear him, what he says. What your learning is done, not take away anything. Simply hear what he says. He may have said to say something else other than what you know. If a glass is put under a tumbler of water, beneath, under it, naturally that glass is full of water. If you put the glass above the tumbler of the water, how can you? So these qualifications when there are, naturally all men can derive those benefits. So we have to look to our heart. Really we want? We do say, why do we come in the time of Christ and the time of Guru Nanak or such and such, have you not done it? How can we have these things? He says, you should be, must be true to your heart. Do you want it really? Then you surely have it. Guru appears on the chair and ready. Where is God? God is also residing within this man body, controlling the man body. He sees what really after. He sees the very trend of our mind going there. When he sees the child is yearning for me, cannot live without me, he makes some arrangement where he is manifest to bring me in contact with them. A man dies, the man who has got no eyes, how can he catch a man who dies? It is only God makes arrangement, some or other, to bring him in contact with the one who is yearning for him, to manifest the same God which already is there, but to manifest, give a demonstration of it. So Guru Ram Das prayed, O God, meet me such a guru, such a master, who is Paras. Paras means there's a stone which is touched with any metal, that metal is turned into gold. O God, give me the contact of such a guru, by coming in contact with which we may become gold. You see, one prayer is heard by God. When what you, your heart, your brain and your mouth agree, what you wish at your heart, that you are given through the mouth, and the same you think, that is true. When these three things agree, that is the true prayer. So he prayed, that my prayer was granted. And what happened? So I met with such a guru that he did not only make a gold, but he made him the very himself, Paras. Paras is a stone which is in touch with many form of metal that turns into gold. He did not turn me into gold, but he made him the very stone itself. And what I was, he said, I was near the what you say, you crushed at the Jangal, what is that? You see, that I was. I was not even met. So God grants what you want, really, a thought. Even now, what do people see and what such a man who wants to meet God? We generally, you see, after the pleasures of this world or the pleasures of the other world or of the heaven or the third make on so many higher planes, such a man does not want anything except to meet God. That's a ruling passion in him, to see God. They don't want from God even salvation. They want to have a divine beautiful, divine look. It so happened once that Lord Krishna was away from the gopis for some time. They were very much pining over his separation, going away from them for some time. She was crying, panting, and Lord Krishna sent his devotee, the name by Udo, go and tell them, well, Lord is within you. The word Krishna means that comes from the root Kiri. Kiri means we near to soul, God. Then the God is also resides in you, He is the controlling power within you. Why you feel so much separation and cry? So he went, explained all this very beautiful talk he gave to the gopis. They said, look here, Udo, whatever you do is all right. Now tell us, with all these things, our eyes are hungry, hungry to see that very blessed face of the Lord Krishna. Is there any remedy for that? With all this lecture will help us? So those who are really after God, God must meet them. He will make some arrangement to bring you in contact with somewhere where is manifest. So what our condition is, we are under great delusion. That delusion starts from the body. Because we are having the body, we become identified with the body. We work from the level of the body. That's a great delusion. Body is made of matter which is changing every moment of life. And the world around us is also made of matter changing at the same speed the our body is changing. As we are identified with the body, that appears to be stationary. This is a great grand delusion. So everybody under that delusion, learned or the unlearned both. So you enter any cottage which is full of smoke, see, then what will happen? Your clothes will be affected, become smoky, black. So this is our condition. Oh, unless we rise above body consciousness, we cannot evade all this outer deception. We start from the body itself. But those who are really after God, you see, he meets the Guru. What does the Guru do? He takes him out of the box of the body. These things impress through the eyes, through the ears, through the nose, through the mouth, to the skin. All these impressions come out, you see. Unless he rises above that level, he cannot evade these things. So Guru's first step is to take him out of the bhakti of the Guru, give him the mercy, open the single eye with him to see the light of God. You rise above the level of the outgoing faculties, naturally, outward impressions won't affect you. So those who have met the Guru and they are living up to what the Guru says, they evade all these things. One master says, he says, oh God, you have put an arm plank and put it in the stream of the water of the stream. Again you say, look here, don't let your clothes be not wet. How can they not be wet? We are on a blank road now, sitting, going with the steam, water of the steam. Naturally, where's your affection? The only way to escape ourselves from these outward impressions is to rise above body consciousness. That is the foremost, first step of spirituality. When the world philosophy ends, there the religion starts. Religion means reins back, leader to bind. He says, such like people, they live in the world. Ducks remain in the water, you see, but they are not, whenever they fly quite dry. They are in the world, yet not in the world, yet out of it. Their boat of life is in the water, but water of the steam is not in the boat. That's the difference. This is what is true disciples get from the Master. So Kabir says, only then you consider that you have met really a Master, you have followed it, if you lose all attachment. All physical ailments do not pinch you. If any heavenly disaster come up, you are ready to go. When you find these three things within you, think that you have become really a disciple, not before. See what is awaiting you, wonderful life. But that starts from keeping the commandments of the Master. That devotion to the Guru. So that is why, you see, Master comes to give up. He gives an example. One tree of Chandra. Chandra is a tree, you see, very perfume giving, you see. They give only some cooling effect. And it is said this poison snake, they are just encircling down the stem of that tree to get cool. He says we have to want to take that wood, you see. How can we have juice of that tree, which is encircled by all snakes, poison snakes? Then he says there's only one way to cut the snake with the sword and then help. Now this all, this manifestation of God, it is all that tree, you see. It's all God personified. And Maya, delusion, is encircling the whole world. Because we see from the level of the man body, that is great delusion. When you rise above it, only can do. But how to rise above body consciousness? Some master give you a way up. So that's the way to be out of this great delusion, you see. He said, what is the effect? Says there are heaps of wood stacked. You put little fire to the whole, all are consumed to little few little ashes. Similarly said, if you come to contact with the God man, he gives you contact with the water and the bread of life within you, by coming the light of God and that nada of God, the music of the spheres, by coming in contact with that, what happens? All your sins of the past life, maybe hundreds, when you come in contact, all those sins are washed away if you get a little spark of light within you by the Master. As fire, all these heaps of wood are burned down to ashes, similarly all our heaps, unlimited sins of the past can be turned to ashes if you get a little of the light which is given by the Master and you come in contact with that. So now he says, then who is a sadhu, who is a master? Who is it? He says, he is the one in which God is manifest, he is world made flesh. His name, Naam, manifested in him. What's the result? When you come in contact with him, or come within the, what you say, area of field of action of the radiation which comes out of the Master, that enables you to see God. By radiation, because the world made flesh, each man has radiation of his own, of whatever within him that radiated outside. And you know the God is manifest, light and sound, principle, you sit within the area of that radiation, you will have the same effect with you. You begin to see God. So for that they say, if you come in contact with him and sit within the radiation of the Master, then you begin to see God. One by radiation. When you go to a man who uses, sells all these perfumes, he does not give you anything, even you have got perfume all free. Because the atmosphere is charged with perfume. And if you sit by him, and he gives you a little fire of sense, then this is something like that. He says, always have the company of such. How can you get, I just told you, how can you come in contact with such? The Guru appears when the chair is ready. But those who are cut off from God, from within, don't have their company. They're just like knotted thread with the knots in the thread, you see. Can you take out any thread and weave the cloth? No. Those who have not seen God, you see, however intellectual may be, they cannot give you these things. So for that thing he advises, okay, company of a manifest God in man is what is needed, and what will affect in radiating that, he will begin to radiate within you. Even by sitting you get the radiation, you have the perfume, and he gives you something contact from within, you have become the same forest. Now he says what to do, what is the remedy for all that. He says that God resides in you. That wonderful water of life, bed of life is within you. He gives you contact with that, open. He does not ask you wait till years or months or anything. He gives you something to start with on the very first day. By giving you something to start with, that you have to dwell from day to day. So what the ultimate goal will be, you will become what he is. So every king wants his sons to become kings, not ministers. Every saint wants you to become like him. So this is what is generally we have. For that you will find what is required. So if you get such like, I mean, company of such a saint, then what you should do? Go on with it. Enjoy the full benefit of his company. So if you find such like people, natural, I think, the wish of anybody would be that we should remain in his custody, near him, within the radiation of his such a man. So Guru Ramdas tells us, O God, I pray, let him become the slave of such a master. How long? He says, until the last breath is taken. We would like to die at his feet, you see. If we find such master opportunity, we just realize all these things I have spoken to you, naturally you want we should die at his feet. So he says, so long as my breathing going on, I wish my last breath should go out at its feet. I should continue in his presence. Now you say, how can you live with the master all along? Physical presence of the master cannot be unrated. But if you have dwelt with receptivity, you can have that benefit by sitting at hundreds and thousands of miles from him. Wireless, you see, wireless study of him. It is what you, the very thing is going on there. So Kabir says, if your master is living across seven oceans and you are sitting on this side, direct your attention to him. There should nothing remain between you and him. And you, by television you see, by radio you hear, from thousands of miles, you become receptive. I gave you the criteria of one who has become like that, Guru man. You ask the same question from the Guru and ask the same question from the disciples, you see. They have said, utter the same words, because they are one and two is one. Now you follow what is meant by discipleship. What is meant by real initiate. So says, they prayed for it. He says, this is the thing what is Shankar, the greatest man of knowledge in the history of the Rishis. He also wanted that. First he believed, soul is God and God is soul, in all respects. Then he says, God is, soul is a part of it. Then ultimately he turned to be worshipper of an incarnation, where the God of manifest. So this he says, I have prayed, Guru Ramdas says, because even the Shankar, the most intelligent man in the world, wanted it. He says, even the Narada, who is considered the king of all devotees of bhakti yoga, he also wanted all this. And he also believed to be, that is on the support of by some power, you see, that is being carried out. So there is a story, both parables go to demonstrate certain things. What is that parable? That the one, you see, Vishisht, he was a devotee of the satsang. He knew this knowledge. What is had by the contact with the Godhead. The other was who was, had 50,000 years of penances which he had undergone. He had a very great power too. So both had to talk with each other. They said the penances, the highest thing to be followed. And Vishesh said, no, only come in contact with the Guru. That is the highest thing. Nobody could decide, only that parable goes, they went to Brahma, the creator of the world. They put this question, which is greater of the two? Penances are the contact with the saint. They said, both are very strong people, they would not listen to my words. Then he went to Vishnu. He also heard the same thing. He said, well, they are very strong people, both of them, they sent it to Shiva. Shiva also, I don't see, it's a very great tangle, I would not be able to solve it, and he sent it to the power which is taking, supporting all creation, this what? They went to him. Well, our question is, which is higher, the company of the saints, or the penance is done at the physical level or permanent level? He said, well, dear friend, I've got a great burden of the whole earth over my head, just take off for a while so that I may come round and decide, hear you and decide your point. Now, Vishesh told the other man, all right, now try your, you've got so much power of the penance, 60,000. He put in something of 20,000, 40,000, the earth could not rise above over the head. Then he put all 60,000 powers, yes, power, penance is done. The earth little lifted from the head, again sat down on the head. He said, to decide, what should I decide? It's already again there. Then the Vishesh said, look here, I give the only what I've gained. You see, what power an hour or so, what I've gained in the company of the saints. Then the result was the earth lifted above the head and stayed there. And decides the question, decides. It means what gives you the company of the saints that you cannot have by putting in hundreds of years in Paris.
Good morning and welcome to the satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The talk you just heard was the last half of a talk called Devotion to the Guru, recorded November the 10th, 1972. Our reader this morning is Tanya Franklin. Good morning, Tanya.
Good morning, David.
Go ahead whenever you're ready.
Thank you very much. The invocation to our precious, adorable Lord and Savior, Sant Kirpal Singh Ji Maharaj. In one voice we sing our praises of gratitude for your everlasting love and divine guidance as we send our heartfelt prayers to you. Our Lord, there is no refuge but thy blessed feet. Please let our reigning principle be only thee. The last time I read from Master's book, The Way of the Saints, titled Cimarron, The Sweet Remembrance of God, I will now read from the same book, starting on page 108, the second paragraph, and it's titled, The Seat of Cimarron. One moment. Now we have to see where the repetition of Nam is to be done. The divine ground on which Cimarron should be done is the center between the two eyebrows, called variously as third eye, Tisratil, Shiv Netra, or Nukta e Svida. It is the gateway leading to the subtle planes. In the state of wakefulness, it is the seat of the spirit or psyche, and it is located above the six physical ganglions. We have to transcend both the astral and causal planes above the physical plane. The yogis step by step cross over the six physical centers until they finally and completely traverse and go over the physical plane. Instead of descending down into the lower ganglions and then going up by piercing them through in the upward journey, it would be easier and better by far if one were to commence the journey right ahead from the seat of the soul in the wakeful state, which is at the back of the two eyes. The easiest way to withdraw the spirit from the body to its own seat is by means of some mental Cimarron, as may be enjoined by the Master Soul, the basic names of God. Let us now see what Cimarron is and what the relation is between the name and the named. For Cimarron, there are two kinds of names, original and derivative. Generally, people engage in Cimarron of one or another of the derivative or attributive names of God, as may have an appeal to the individual concerned. This may be good and useful to a certain extent, but it cannot work as an open sesame to the higher and spiritual planes within. Master souls always do and recommend Simran of the highest type, to wit, of the original or basic names of God. For these open up charmed casements and bring to view vistas leading to spiritual realms within the body. Such names are charged with the electrified by the thought transference that usually accompanies them when communicated to an aspirant by a master soul. As these are magnetized, they have the power to attract and pull the spirit up to the planes to which they relate. The engrafted words, charged with the divine spirit of the master, very soon bear fruit. Christ in this connection says, I am the vine, ye are the branches, and as branches cannot do without the vine, ye cannot do without me. Let you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Again, these charmed words of the Master, basic names of God, have the power to dispel the forces of darkness that may meet and assail a spirit on its onward journey. Simran of these names helps the soul both in the physical plane and supraphysical planes, one after the other. Hence, it is imperative that Simran be done of such names as the master's soul enjoins, for they are charged with a tremendous spiritual power, which negative powers can hardly put up with, and from which they flee as from an enchanter driven. Immortal and everlasting as these words of the master are, they bestow life everlasting to the soul in which they sink and take root. Death cannot come near such a soul. This is why it is said, take not God's name in vain. Every name has its own significance, influence, energy, and power. If one thinks of ice, he is reminded of the bleak cold and shivers it brings. The thought of fire puts into mind its attributed of heat and warmth. The word lawyer is suggestive of courts and cases, and doctor at once conjures up pictures of hospitals, patients, medicine, chess, etc. It is a common saying, as you think, so you become. Thought is said to be the keynote to success. There is always a strong link between a name and the named, and much greater and stronger is the link between God and his name. It may be said that God himself resides and dwells in his own names, basic and original, and not derivative or attributive. Simran, of the basic names of God, has an inevitable influence on the mind. It leads to Dhyan, making the spirit forgetful of the world and worldly objects. In meditation, nothing but concentrated Simran remains, and from the great and deep silence of the heart, Hirday Kamal of the saints, that is, the divine ground between the eyebrows, there issues forth a ceaseless sound current, which helps in pulling the spirit up, leading to the withdrawal from the body, without, of course, breaking the silver cord, and guides the spirit in its upward journey into various spirit realms. The luminous form of the Master always remains with the spirit, helping and guiding at every step. This sound principle is the link between God and man, and in this way, an indissoluble bond and relationship is established between the Creator and His creation. This sound current is variously described by various sages. The Vedas speak of it as Shruti, which is heard. The Upanishads describe it as Nad or Udgit. Udgit, song of the other world. The Muslims call it Bang-e-Asmani or Kalma, and in Qurbani, we have references to Shab, and in the Gospel, it is mentioned as the Word. The Zoroastrians call it Shirosha, and the French have given it the name Elan Vital, or life current. Once the consciousness takes root in this sound principle, or voice of the silence, life everlasting is assured to the spirit. There is no other way to God than this, and it can only be reached by means of Simran of God's name. Knock, and it shall be opened unto thee, is what the Gospel preached. Emerson calls it tapping inside. This knocking and tapping is possible only when, through Simran, the mind is stilled and the spirit is withdrawn and consecrated before the very door of God. This is the way as ordained by God Himself, but no one can find it without the grace of the Master Soul, an adept in the spirit, in the science of spirituality, not only in theory, but Yagasvaryaka, but in practice as well as Ashtavakra, one who has transcended all the planes, physical, subtle, causal, and beyond, and holds a commission from God to lead other souls to Him. How to do Simran? For Simran, one has to adopt some convenient posture and then fix his attention on the divine ground between the eyebrows. Simran is entirely a mental process and is to be done mentally with the tongue of thought, while the gazing faculty is to be fixed at the spot between the two eyebrows, as said above. The words as given by the Master may slowly be repeated mentally or with the tongue of thought. It should be done without causing any strain or pressure on the forehead. The practice may be started with a half hour or so, as may be convenient, but in the course of time it should be developed to 2 or 3 hours a day, or even longer. Simran of the divine names introverts the mind and weans it from worldly thoughts and mundane matters until it gets stilled and is equipoise. Some do Cimarron with closed eyes and others with open eyes. The first, in some cases, sinks into drowsiness, leading to what may be called yog nidra. And the second, in some cases, keeps the mind engaged on environments. One has, therefore, to guard against both pitfalls. Cimarron with closed eyes is preferable, provided one retains full consciousness. It must be done regularly, every day, at a fixed time. Hafez, Sufi, poet of Persia, says, "The only job is to pray, unmindful of whether it is accepted or not. This means you have to remember the Lord internally, without any clutching, to receive one thing or the other. We have to leave everything to Lord or Master working overhead. Just as we need food for the body, so do we need food for the soul. We are very careful in giving food to the horse of the body, but starve the rider, the spirit, the life-giving fountainhead that enlivens the body and without which it has no value. We must provide food to spirit more regularly than we do for the body. No matter where we are, whether at home or abroad, and no matter what the circumstances may be, this should be our first and foremost concern. The Cimarron of name or word is an elixir of life, and in fact, a panacea, healing for all ills, physical, mental, accidental, or ordained. It is a food for the spirit. And when the spirit is strong and healthy, it will charge the body with vital currents of life and light, dispelling all darkness from head to foot. It is the bread of life spoken of by Christ when he declared, "You cannot live on bread alone, but you can live on the name of God alone." Cimarron and Dhyan meditation flood the spirit with the waters of life. Spirit comes to its own, rises in its latent godhood, and like a tumultuous mountain stream rushes headlong toward the ocean of life, which is its perennial source, and merges therein, losing its separate identity. There are no limitations as to time and place for Cimarron. It may be done at any time, at any place, sitting or standing, walking or in bed, but it must be done in a state of conscious wakefulness. Early morning hours, Amrit Vela is the best time for Cimarron. A light and frugal night meal consisting of milk and fruits and morning absolutions are aids in the right direction. Purity of thoughts, words, and deeds go a long way to make success of the sadhana, spiritual discipline. For ethical life precedes spiritual life and is in fact the very ground on which the spiritual structure has to be raised. For a householder, it is very necessary to observe strict discipline in life in matters of diet, drink, and speech. Again, Simran must be done slowly, and the words are to be repeated or thought out with clarity. The whole process is to be carried out with love, devotion, and single-minded attention to ensure quick results. When properly done for some time, a state of divine intoxication comes upon the spirit, and blessed calmness is experienced. All worldly thoughts vanish like thin air, and the spirit feels freed from the bodily sentiments and is irresistibly drawn upward by the unseen power of the Master. When it thus withdraws from the sensual planes, it gets concentrated at its own seat. The inner light dawns, and one by one spiritual experiences like the starry welkin, the moon, and the sun unfold themselves. One comes across frequent references to the things in all the scriptures, both ancient and modern, like the Vedas, the Upanishads, the Holy Quran, the Gurbani, the Gospel, etc. The prophets Muhammad and Moses speak of the various inner lights. In the Bible, there are repeated references to the thunder and lightning in connection with the voice of God as it spoke to the prophets. As the spirit crosses over these initial stages and lands in the subtle plane, the luminous form of the Master appears, takes charge of the soul, and leads it on the onward spiritual journey from plane to plane. With the advent of the Master, the work of Simran is completed, and the aspirant's soul lies wholly in the hands of the Master Soul. Guru Arjan, the fifth guru of the Sikhs, has given a glowing account of the results which one can have by doing the sweet remembrance of the word. He impresses on us to remember him all the time in the words, as used by the saints in the past. There are so many names of the one reality, and our name and goal is common. We have to start from the name and contact with the named. Unless you contact the named, you cannot derive the full benefit of the words repeated by you. For instance, you say water in English, aqua in Latin, pani and abd in Urdu and Persian, jal and nur in Hindi. But by repetition of these names alone, your thirst cannot be satisfied. It is only by drinking the particular fluid, which is called by so many names, that your thirst is appeased. By doing Simran of the world and its environments, they have so much taken possession of us that we have become the world and its environments. We have to use the same methods so as to eliminate all the worldly thoughts from within by remembering sweetly of the Lord in the words devised by the saints so far. So there are two uses of Simran. One use is to withdraw from the body by Simran of the electrified words given by a competent master. And the second is to drive out the world and its thoughts from within us by the constant remembrance of the Lord in so many ways as predescribed. The description of which has been given above in detail. Kabir or Simran. I have given a digest of the whole subject matter in connection with Simran. It will not be out of place to put before you the sayings of the different saints on the subject. I now put before you the statements made by Sant Kabir on the subject. He says, "Comforting is God's name. All ills it cures. Remembrance of God's name leads to Him besides." Further, Kabir says, "Among high and low, among rich and poor, great is he who prays, and greater still he that motiveless does so. Health and power hardly make a man. Poverty and riches are both transitory. A man of Simran stands far above all mankind. He is much more blessed than the rest. Most people crave for worldly things. Some are desirous of having children. Others hanker after wealth, and still others after name and fame. The kind Father, of course, grants prayers of all. But a man of Simran, on the other hand, asks for nothing. He seeks God for God's sake, and hence is the crowning glory to Him." Once Akbar, the great Mongol emperor, while riding, lost his way and felt thirsty, and he asked a farmer standing near a well for water. The peasant tied the emperor's horse to a nearby tree and gave water and food to him, little knowing who he was. And the king was pleased with his hospitality and told him who he was and bade the farmer to see him should he ever stand in need of anything. After some time, the farmer had opportunity to visit the metropolis. He went to see the king as he was bidden to do. On going to the royal palace, he found that the king was busy praying, and at the end, he requested God for the peace and prosperity of his kingdom. Seeing this, the farmer felt humiliated for having come to beg from a beggar, for he too could directly appeal to the great God, who listens alike to the prayers of both rich and poor. Guru Nanak has said, "Why should we ask for worldly things from God? All those who love the body and bodily relations go the way of hell. But one who does Simran motiveless is truly great. We generally pray for the fulfillment of our wishes and desires. So long as a man or woman is full of these, the human body, far from being a temple of God, is an abode of Satan." So Kabir says that God loves those who love God alone, for no other purpose but for the love of God. The same is in the Sikh scriptures. "What should I ask for? There is nothing lasting in all the world over. I see the whole world passing away." And Kabir says, "In pain we pray to God. In pleasure we forget. Could we in pleasure pray? Then pain would not come up." Well, I have come to the end of my reading for this particular time, and I now turn this holy meeting and satsang of our Father to you, David.
Thank you, Tanya, for reading for us. Could you tell us again, for those who came in later, what you were reading?
I was reading from Master's book, The Way of the Saints, starting on page 108, the second paragraph, The Seat of Cimarron.
Great. Thank you. We had 88 callers at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us. Now, please hang up your phones.